probably, perhaps, have never heard from the pulpit. That's okay. Y'all talk at home. Nothing you haven't heard before. Y'all with me. But that's my job. Okay? All right. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, here's something that I always like to share, and that is simply this. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, we have revealed the pattern for the Christian life. We can see types, shadows, allegories, and examples of the way the Christian is supposed to live. And here's the great thing about the Bible. The Bible tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible reveals the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the reason that is that way is so that we can look at the pattern and learn. So that we can look at the pattern and see examples to follow and examples to avoid. And so that's part of why he's referring back to the Old Testament. Now notice, he's talking about those people who had come out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They had put blood on the doorposts. They had drank water from a rock, a type of being born again, a type of being baptized in water, a type of being filled with the Spirit. But yet, he said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Didn't say he didn't love them. He just simply said he was not pleased. Why was he not pleased? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were defeated in the wilderness. Now, if you as a Christian have a discerning heart and good common sense, and if you're smart, you're going to want to see and understand why they were defeated in the wilderness, see what they did, and avoid it in your life. Y'all with me? Say this with me. I'm discerning and smart. I'm going to learn from their example. All right, follow along with me now. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were for our examples. Examples. Now, the word examples here is a little Greek word, tupos, T-O-P-O-S. And it literally means a die or a model. In other words, what they did was a model for us. We can look at the model and base our lives upon the model. So if the model was broke and we know why it was broke, then we want to avoid what broke their model so it doesn't break us. You with me? Watch this now. Here's why they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example or model, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to go into a couple of these in great detail, more detail than others. But what does it mean to lust? Lust simply means pressure. Pressure on you to desire something that is evil or harmful. The problem with the children of Israel is when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage, God took care of them. But just like people do and have done throughout all ages, they weren't satisfied. They started to crave some of that old stuff that they had in Egypt. You know, and it even got down to, man, at least we had leeks and garlics. You know, manna from heaven, quail, come on. We want some of the spicy food back in Egypt. Then they got to the point where they started to complain. Man, let's go back. Now, listen. Remember, the state that they lived in Egypt, was a state of slavery. Hard slavery. Bondage. But yet they desired to go back. Why is that? You'd think that, man, once somebody got delivered, you'd never want to look back. It is the nature of the flesh. Your body is nothing more than the house that you live in. And your body was created, listen to this now, to be your servant. Your body was created to be your servant. In fact, the word for body is soma, which means slave. But yet, the body at times has a mind of its own. And if you don't keep your body in check, it will crave and put pressure on you for evil things. Things that you know will destroy you. But your flesh wants it anyway. Are y'all with me? I remember many years ago, I took my family to Pittsburgh for something. It was Labor Day weekend. We stayed at the Doubletree Hotel. We're up on like the 15th, 17th floor. And we're overlooking a restaurant that was right across the street. And we were watching people from our hotel room smoke crack in their cars. You know? And my son was sitting in the window with me. I said, look, he's lighting up. And then you'd see this big glow. Now, why in the world would anybody ingest crack cocaine into their body? No one, it'll destroy it. It'll destroy your mind. It'll jack up your body. Why? Your flesh has a mind of its own. And if you don't keep it in check, it'll crave things that will destroy you. Do I have a witness here? Now, I'm not going to go into detail there, but let's look at the next point. These are things to avoid on your journey of faith. Now, let me say this. I said it earlier. This, you're going to hear some things you've never heard me say before. Say, Pastor Bill loves me. And see, for the most part, I don't talk about things like this on Sunday morning. For you guys who have been to our men's fellowship, you know I deal with this stuff all the time. We talk about character issues. We talk about sex. We talk about all this stuff because it's important. I realize that a church is only as strong as its men. And you get a church full of weak men, you get a weak church. I'm just telling the truth. Y'all know it's so anyway. I'm just telling the truth. You got a bunch of weak men, you got a weak church. And so it's my responsibility to pour strength in you, number one, to lead by example, number two. And you're going to enjoy this, but don't get offended today, all right? I like what Joel Siegel said. He said, if you don't like anything I say today, don't take it out on Pastor. You know, wait till he offends you. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. Are you with me? All right, watch this. Verse 6. Now, these things were written as an example or model for us to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, let's look at this for a little bit. Lust, a craver of evil things. We've talked about that briefly. Neither be ye idolaters. Now, we often think of idolatry as somebody who bows down to an image and worships an image. But to be an idolater literally means to be a worshiper or to be a servant. And we've often thought that idolatry is something of the past. Oh no, it's very near and it's very present. When you make something a priority in your life to the degree that it usurps your worship of God, you are in a dangerous place. When you make something more important in your life than your fellowship and your relationship with God, your life is out of balance. And there are many people who may not consider themselves to be worshipers of certain things, but they sure are servants of those things. I learned a lesson years ago from a man named Roy Craig. Roy Craig said something that I never will forget. And Roy was a head usher at our Bible college. And he was a very faithful man. And You know, I think he's pastoring a church in Nevada now, today. But Roy Craig said something. He said, we have to be careful that we don't allow things in life to reach out and grab hold of us to the degree that it takes all of our attention. And it can be anything. It can be your television. It can be your favorite hobby. It can be your favorite pastime. It can be a sport. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when it reaches out and grasps your attention to the degree that you now begin to serve that thing, then that can be considered idolatry. Are you with me? I've often said to people, somebody asked me the other day, I went someplace and they asked if I was going to play golf. I said, no, I'm not playing. I love golf. I used to love to watch it. I used to love to play it. I even took lessons. You know, and the amazing thing is I had a guy named Dan Steen, who's the pro out at Downing Golf Course. And I took lessons from him. And man, I'm telling you, I could hit the ball well. Look, I'm pretending like I'm gripping a club. I love the game. But do you know how many times I've played golf in the last 3 years? Once. It's not a priority. I've got some friends, my goodness, they love golf. They love golf more than they love their wives. Some of you ladies can identify with that. Oh, they love golf. I was sitting in Forest Park in St. Louis many, many years ago, and I was a sales rep for a pharmaceutical company, and my territory was half of St. Louis City. And many times at lunch, I would go to Forest Park, I'd grab something to eat, and I'd sit there and do reports while I'm sitting in the park. While I was sitting between the second and third hole, there was a golf course, went right through the park. And a guy pulled up in front of me in his car. I'm sitting there eating lunch, filling out reports. And he sat there for a few minutes, nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, he got out of his car, came back, opened his trunk. Thought that's a little unusual. Then he pulled his pants off. I mean, unbuckled his, dropped his drawers. I'm like, whoa, what in the world is going on? Took his pants off, had his boxers on. Threw them in the trunk, took his shirt off, threw it in the trunk. Out came some golf pants, put them on, put on a polo shirt, grabbed his golf clubs, ran out onto the golf course. He didn't want to pay. So he waited till nobody was coming through, jumped on the golf course to play his round of golf. You know, I love golf, but you ain't going to catch me stripping out on the street to save a few bucks to get on the golf course. My point is simply this. Whenever anything reaches out to you and grasps your attention to the degree that it wants you to serve it, you need to let it go. You with me? It can be a sport. It can be Facebook. It can be MySpace. It can be your favorite rap group. Are you with me? I mean, I love music, but music doesn't make me a slave. All right? I don't jones out if I didn't see my favorite TV show. You know, there's some TV shows you need to set aside. You know the one show I watched it several times because I thought, these women are crazy. Housewives of Atlanta. These were some nutty gals. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You listen to this stuff? These girls are crazy. And then I found myself wanting to watch it. I just wanted to see what the next crazy... Well, you know they design it that way. Because they want you to watch. So I had to quit watching the thing. It's foolishness anyhow. Are you with me? Anyway, some of y'all know what happened for all three, four seasons. Just look straight ahead and say, amen. Okay. Idolatry. That simply means a worshiper or a servant. Let's drop down to the last one, to murmur. The word for murmur, it's an interesting Greek word. It's pronounced guguzo. And the word guguzo literally means to grumble or to complain. Now, let me show you how dangerous this is for the Christian. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Y'all still all right? I haven't gotten to the good stuff yet. Numbers chapter 14. Let me show you about murmuring. Numbers chapter 14. And here's, there again, a model that we can look at. A pattern that we can choose to avoid. Numbers chapter 14. And I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept sore that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against," notice this, "murmured against Moses and against Aaron." Murmured against Moses and against Aaron. "And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt.'" Now, in our minds, that just sounds so crazy and so outrageous. But I'm telling you, the flesh has a mind of its own. And if you're not careful, your flesh will put you into a position where you'll begin to mumble, grumble, and complain. Not only about things that happen in your life, but sometimes you'll even decide to mumble, grumble, and complain about what happens in your church. You know, I heard somebody say this many years ago. He said, for some families, the favorite meal is Sunday afternoon when they have lunch on the pastor. In other words, they just chew him up, and hopefully that's not you. But we have to be careful of that. Now, notice what these people said. Notice what they said. "Would God that we had died in this wilderness." Go to verse 26. Remember, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 14, 26. "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me?'" Whoa! They were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, but God considered them to be murmuring against him. Now watch what happened, because they grumbled and complained. "Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you will not come into the land concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness." Now, the word despise here is a Hebrew word, me'ak, and it simply means to throw something away. Notice that they lost their inheritance because they grumbled and complained. And God heard what they said, and in essence said to Moses and Aaron, "I'm going to give them exactly what they said. They have despised my promise, and literally, because of their grumbling and complaining, threw it away." What I'm sharing with you today is things that you need to avoid on your journey of faith. If you want to receive all that God has for you, these are things you should not do. Are you with me? Now, understand this. There are times when you're dealing with people that stuff happens. Everybody say, stuff happens. It happens to all of us. But the thing that we need to keep in mind is how we respond when stuff happens. All of us face challenges in life. I reached a point in ministry where I wanted to mumble, grumble, and complain. And I remember the night it happened. I was in the ministry of helps in St. Louis. I was the associate pastor of this church. And my job was to get the auditorium ready for Sunday morning service. And so we were renting an old Jewish War Veterans Memorial Hall, and they would lease it out for wedding receptions and parties on Saturday night. And so I'd get a phone call sometimes 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, "Reverend Young, you can come clean up now, because the party's over." They would clean the tables off, but there was beer, liquor spilled all over the floor. The place smelled terrible. And I had to go in there, open up those doors, mop those floors, take down those tables, put them all away, let the floors dry, break out all the chairs, and set them up theater style. And we had 300 people coming to church on a Sunday morning. So we get about 180 chairs in the auditorium level for the adults. And we had two services on Sunday. We couldn't get everybody in on Sunday morning. And then I had to put up the sound system and do all that stuff. So I get a call. It's like 1:30, almost 1:40 in the morning. And they had told me there was not going to be an event that weekend. So I'm thinking, cool, I can get up maybe at 5 a.m., set up, and be cool. They call me, Reverend Young, the party's over. You can come clean up. Party? What party? Well, they rented it out for a wedding reception. Now I got to get my crew together and go in clean up. So I call my crew, started calling my other helpers. Oh, Bill, I don't feel good today. Okay. Call the next guy. Oh, Bill, my back hurts. Call the third guy. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm like, okay, faith men. Faith men. So I'm going to have to do this myself. That's all right. I'll do it myself. Got up, went in there, started cleaning that mess up. I was mad. Michelle, I was mad. Then one of my buddies showed up. And so I wanted to guguzo, mumble, grumble, complain. I was tired. I'd had it. I'm doing this for free. I'm volunteering my time. Here I am, 2:30 in the morning, mopping these stinky floors. Do you know what I gave up to do this? There's all these thoughts are running through my mind. I was a commercial lines underwriter for a big insurance company. I don't have to be doing this. I could be doing anything else. I ought to be home in bed. Guguzo. And so now, misery loves company, so I got my buddy. I said, hey man, I said, how you doing? I'm trying to draw him in. Get a partner on this guguzo stuff. And I never will forget, he's standing there with that big old mop. I said, how you doing, man? And he just dropped the mop and lifted his hands and said, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you count me worthy to mop floors for the kingdom of God. And I said, oh, Lord. God did that just for me. I said, Father, I got it. Forgive me. I will never, ever complain again. And I haven't. Are you with me? It's an honor to do anything for the kingdom of God. But you got to watch the grumbling, okay? You got to watch the guguzo. You will forfeit your inheritance, and you'll get what you say. Your words are powerful and important. All right, turn with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm telling you, the anointing's in this place today. Good Lord, praise and worship was just tremendous. It's always tremendous, but it's getting gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. See, the anointing will show up to do many different things. He'll show up. He'll heal the sick. But it also gives you revelation so that you can have tools to use in your life that'll transform the way you live. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want to show you something here. But first, I'm going to preface it with a conversation that I had with a minister in a little town called Erie, Pennsylvania. About 18 years ago, I was having conversation with a minister who will remain unnamed for obvious reasons. And he proceeded to tell me that he had been invited to speak at a very large church in another town, and they were looking for a pastor. And this minister proceeded to tell me, and I know why he told me, but I was shocked when he said this. He said, yeah. He said, man. He said, I was sitting up there in the pulpit. Y'all got your seatbelts on? All the kids are gone, right? I warned you, it's not my fault. If you get offended, don't get mad at me. I was sitting in the pulpit in that big church. About 300 people out there. He said, and the pastor leaned over to me and said to me, this is an actual conversation that I had with a minister in little old Erie, Pennsylvania. He said to me,
See those women out there, fine women, especially the ones up on the front row? He said, yeah. He said, man, you can have anyone you want.
Now, this minister was and is married.
You can have anyone you want.
Now, why in the world did he tell me that story? I know why he told me that story. Mike, he wanted to see if I was down with that. Are you cool with that? See, because that was going to be the basis of our relationship. Are you cool with that? And you know what I said to him? These aren't my words exactly, but this is the essence of it. I said, unless y'all change, y'all going to bust hell wide open. I said, unless y'all change, you're going to bust hell wide open. That is not God's plan. That is not God's will. And that is the last thing that you should be thinking about when you're considering taking a church. Well, after that conversation, this minister and myself have not been real good friends. Are you with me? Because he knows I'm not down with that. But yet it happens, doesn't it? Now, let's look at the model. Let's look at the pattern. Let's see what we can avoid. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You there? Notice verse 22. It says, now Eli was very old and heard that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they laid with the women that were assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, for those of you who are not versed in biblical literature, let me break it down for you. They were having sex with the gals at the door of the tabernacle. Got the picture? And these were the priests. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear, you make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sins against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father, because the Lord, notice this, this seems harsh, doesn't it? For the Lord was going to kill him. That's, in essence, what it says. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now, this was so disturbing in God's mind that he judged these two men, Hophni and Phinehas, and he judged their father, Eli. Now, why in the world would he judge Eli? Because Eli didn't stop it. Eli said, hey, why are you guys doing this? This is a bad thing. I'm getting all these evil words. You shouldn't do this. Eli should have sat their butts down. Y'all out there? Did you leave? Should have sat their butts down. You're no longer priests. But he didn't, because they were his sons. And so it didn't cost just Eli or Hophni and Phinehas, but it also cost Eli. Notice verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said to him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear to you in the house of your father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, and to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my habitation? Now, part of the problem with Hophni and Phinehas was not that they were sexually immoral, but they were taking the offerings from the people by force and keeping the best stuff for themselves. They completely despised what God had established, not only causing the people to sin, but just, for lack of a better term, beating up God's people. Are you with me? Beating up God's people. Notice what happened. I have commanded in thy habitation, and notice this, here's part of the problem with Eli. He said, you honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I will indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, and there shall not be an old man in your house. And you shall see an enemy in your habitation, and all the wealth that God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. Now, this was part of the judgment that came upon Hophni and Phinehas. And it literally came to pass that throughout their generations, in their lineage, there was not one male that lived to be an old man. They all died too young. Why? Because they lightly esteemed the things of God. They were more concerned with their flesh and be as satisfied with their flesh than they were honoring God. And they were judged because of it. Now, the Bible says that one of the things that we are to avoid is fornication. What is that word fornication? The Greek word porneia. Sex outside the marriage covenant. Y'all with me? Now, here's the thing. You'd think that, well, you know, the Bible was written so long ago, and, you know, these people were uptight, and, you know, they didn't know anything. You know, the church of Corinth was a bunch of country bumpkins. Oh, I got news for you. These folks were wild. There was a temple in Corinth that was dedicated to the worship of Aphrodite, or Venus, the love goddess. And in the temple at Aphrodite, there were 1,000 temple priestesses. And the way you worshipped Aphrodite was by having sex with one of the temple priestesses. So if you wanted to worship God, you had to have sex with one of the priests. And who didn't want to worship God, brother? Men and women came from all around the Mediterranean to worship at the temple of Aphrodite. Aphrodite was a myth. She never existed. But the cult was huge. There was another temple dedicated to Aphrodite a little further east on the Mediterranean. And this complex was so large, this complex had a stadium in it that seated 25,000 people. This thing was huge. And so now you have these men and women who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul is writing to them by the Holy Ghost that you need to abstain from, stay away from sex outside of marriage. Are you with me? Now, I talk about this with the guys often. Am I right, guys? Do I have a witness? This is not the first time we've talked about this, is it? But I rarely share with the ladies. All you ladies say amen. Amen. Listen, ladies. If a man really loves you, he'll be more concerned with what's between your ears than what's between your legs. Can't say amen, say oh me. Well, Pastor Young, if I don't give him the cookies, he gonna leave me. Kick his butt to the curb. Kick his butt to the curb. You don't need him. He's using you. Are y'all with me? Oh, church got quiet now, Al. Church got quiet, boy. Where are all the church mice? Everybody quiet. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. The conversation that I had with this minister 18 years ago shocked me. But you know what? I came to find out it was common practice in this city. I've talked to people who came to Erie from other places, and they'd pick up on it in a week. Now, here's the thing that you have to keep in mind. God doesn't care if you're a priest, a preacher, a minister, or a lay person. He values you. He loves you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when the Bible says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and you are not your own? That's a very poor translation. The Greek word hiatu, which is translated your own, literally means alone. You have the third person of the Godhead living inside you. And when you give up the cookies to Slick Willie, you're bringing the Holy Ghost in on your mess. Are you with me? Now, listen to me. I don't want anybody to feel condemned or feel, oh, you know, Pastor, we're talking about me. No. I love you. And even if you've messed up in that area and you've repented, the word repent means change. God has forgiven you. Forget about yesterday. I'm going to help you use some tools for tomorrow. You with me? Hey, we've all missed it. Been there, done that. You with me? But forget about that. I'm going to help you going forward. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't, you know, I've been in some situations over the years. This ain't my first rodeo. This ain't my first rodeo. I've had to deal with this situation. We had a singles group in our church in St. Louis. And we had a singles minister. Her name was Gleetha Glispie. I talk about Gleetha all the time. She's an executive for Walgreens Corporation now in Chicago. But man, I always had to deal with these single young men and single young ladies. And we had about 37 adults in our singles group. And they were either divorced, widowed, or just never married. And I'd always have to get in there and keep these guys in check. Because these ladies are Pastor Bill. These guys won't leave me alone. And so I talked to the guys. Guys, leave the ladies alone. Well, how are we going to find a mate? I said, quit hitting them up. Leave them alone. If they don't want nothing to do with you, leave them alone. And one guy said to me, from our, said, well, I don't have that gift of celibacy. I said, gift of what? Gift of celibacy. I said, there's no such thing. Gift of celibacy. In other words, you know, God's going to gift you so that you don't have sexual desires. Are you crazy? God invented sex. It's His idea. He made you as a sexual being. All of us have sexual desires, but all of us have the ability to control those things. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Who's running the show? You or your body? If you learn to walk in the Spirit, you can control your flesh. I have to do it constantly. But I've won the battle. Y'all with me? This same minister that I had that conversation with years ago, I remember, should I tell this? He might listen to the CD. He might hear it on the internet. So I'm not going to tell this story. If I tell that story, he going, well, let me shut up. Anyway, I had that conversation with this guy. I had to walk away from him. I had to walk away from him because I didn't want to be even in his company. And that's biblical. If a brother or sister be called a Christian and be involved in fornication, don't even have lunch with them. Are you with me? This is how serious God takes this thing. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli were judged severely because they were unwilling to repent and change. Now, listen. We live in a culture that is so overly sexualized. Everything involves sex. And you might think that, you know, because I'm of the generation that invented this phrase, if it feels good, do it. How many of y'all are past 50? You remember that? Oh, come on, don't get shy on me now. You know y'all heard it. If it feels good, do it. That's the time period we grew up in. See, Dempsey knows. Are you with me? Well, if it feels good, do it. Might sound like fun, but it'll get you killed. Do you know that the highest rate of infection for the AIDS virus, HIV, is not among homosexual men? It is among African American women in the United States of America. Well, guess what? If you're not having sex, it won't happen. I went to the Bahamas for Peg and I's 25th wedding anniversary, and Peg and the girls were at the straw market in Nassau, and you know, like most guys, I really don't like to shop, and so I hung around for a little bit, saw some of the craftsmen and craftspeople, and decided to, go hang out on the dock. And so a young man from Trinidad came up to me, and he said, sir, he said, excuse me, could I ask you a few questions? I said, sure. He said, would you mind filling out a survey for me for my doctrinal thesis from the University of Trinidad? He identified himself. He said, it's on the subject of tourism. I said, sure, I may help a brother out. And so I'm filling out the survey, got the clipboard, you know, and he goes off and, you know, you know, how often you come to the Bahamas and where are you staying and blah, 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 blah. Very innocuous. And then they flipped the page. The next question says, how many sexual partners have you had since you've been in the Bahamas? I thought, man, that's kind of personal. I said, one, my wife. How often do you come to the Bahamas for sex? I'm like, what in the world? I answered the question. Do you enjoy men or women? I'm like, what in the world? Do you have multiple partners? I'm like, wait a minute. This is not a tourism survey. But you know what? Questions like that don't intimidate me. How many sexual partners have you had? One, my wife. How do you keep yourself safe from STDs? Easy, I stay faithful to my wife. She's faithful to me? Real easy. Not hard, not ashamed, not embarrassed. Filled out the survey. The young man came back over to me. I said, you got me. I said, this is not a tourism survey. He said, well, he said, no. He said, it's really a thesis about the explosion of AIDS in the Caribbean. And we're trying to find ways to educate people to help prevent them from getting HIV. I said, no problem. Wish you the best. But, you know, we live in a culture where people think anything's okay. I heard something last night from a guy at the dinner for St. James. He said this. He says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We need to live our lives by principle, not by feeling, not by the culture, not by what's cool. Are you with me? And even in an environment where unfortunately, it's sad, I may have people in ministry who think it's okay to commit adultery and to sleep around. God has never changed His mind. You with me? And whether you're in ministry or whether you're just a lay person, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You are more valuable than that. You need to esteem yourself highly, think of yourself highly, and not lower yourself to that position. Y'all still love me? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, what about the men? Oh, I hit the men all the time. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I hit the men all the time. When I was married to Peggy, I was, you know, engaged for a year and a half, married to her for 32 years, almost 35 years. Not once was I ever unfaithful to me. Oh, I had some glorious opportunities. I had some glorious opportunities, but never hesitated. Because number one, I want to please my Heavenly Father. Number two, I don't want to hurt her. Number three, that fine chick don't care nothing about me. Are you with me? So listen to this. This is going to be shocking. Young people, old people, if you're not married to that person, Mr. Penis and Miss Vagina need to stay by themselves. Did you like that? They need to stay by themselves. I don't know any other way to say it. All right? I said it. Yes, I did. I said it. So anyway, these are things we need to avoid on our journey of faith. Now turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to close with this. How am I doing on time, Al? Good. Okay. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Well, Pastor Young, you know, hey, I mean, I've, how can I do that? How can I keep myself? It's easy. You need to find God's Word that talks about those issues. I did it. And then you need to put that Word in your mouth. Then you need to tell your body what to do. Are you with me? There have been times I've been tempted and I'd yell out loud, no, no, you're not going there. No. No, you're not going there. You're not going to do that. That's not my thought. And I've said it out loud. That's not my woman. That's not my wife. Just you yell at your body a few times, it'll snap right in line. Are you with me? There are times you might have to go around the corner and say, boy, you better check yourself. You can't be thinking like that. You're not going there. I had a woman get in my face in Tulsa one time, nose to nose with me, and told me what she'd do to me for $10. $10! $10! I thought, that's all? $10? Some of y'all laugh. Y'all do it for free. You need to value yourself more than that. She got in my nose, got in my face, and said, I'll do this to you for $10. I said, no, thank you. She looked at me like I was crazy. Then I thought she was going to cut the price, but she didn't. But anyway, it didn't matter. I wasn't going there. Are you with me? You got to live your life by principle. If you don't care about yourself, at least care about the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you. Don't drag him into your stuff. He doesn't deserve to be there. Well, guess what? Neither do you. Neither do you. You need to value yourself more than that. Esteem yourself more highly than that. I remember years ago, I don't want to belabor the point, but the guy who won The Voice this past year, Jermaine Paul, his daddy, Charles, said to me one time when he found I was getting married, he said, hey, I hear you're getting married. I said, yeah. He said, oh, it's good. You know what the Bible says? I said, what's that? Better to marry than to burn. I got offended. I said, come on, man. You actually think I'm going there? I was engaged to my wife for a year and a half without having sex with her. Y'all still out there? Did you leave? Now, I'm not saying I was an angel. I wasn't. But I'm just saying if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. So say this, I can do it. Okay. Man, that was tough. That was like pulling teeth. Malachi chapter 3. I'll ease up on you now, okay? Malachi chapter 3. Let's go down to verse 13. I want to show you something here. Here's what happens when you do things the right way. Malachi chapter 3. We've talked about some things we need to avoid on our journey of faith. Lust. Don't become a craver of evil things. You control your body. Don't let your body control you. Don't let anything make you a servant or a slave. Don't be an adulterer. Fornication. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Glorify God in your body. There is a place for sex, but that place is in a covenant marriage relationship. Don't be a murmurer. Complainer, guguzo. And there's another one we didn't talk about. Don't tempt Christ, but we'll deal with that at another time. Notice Malachi 3, beginning with verse 13. Notice what it says. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, where have we spoken so much against you? You have said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now you call the proud happy, and they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt Christ or tempt God are even delivered. This is what he's saying. Even though you're my chosen people, because you're walking in a way that's not pleasing to me, you glorify the wicked. And you say, you know, what purpose is there serving God? I mean, why keep myself till I get married? I mean, look at Jay-Z. I didn't mean to say his name. But look at these people. You know, hey, they sleeping around. Look how blessed they are. No, they ain't. Look at these people. They're having all of this and you know, hey, they're doing fine. Why serve God? Trust me, my friend, it's a lie. It's a lie. You know, the interesting thing is some people, I'm talking about unborn again, unchristian people, they'll fall for stuff like you wouldn't believe. You know, somebody comes out with some fad, they just suck it up. They suck it up. Standing on the corner with the hat on backwards, the drawers around halfway down their butt, and they think that's cool. Now, why would you do that? Because somebody else did it, and you want to identify with them. And that is in part what he's talking about here. Identifying with the ungodly, thinking that there's a reward for unrighteousness. Watch this. Verse 15, and now you call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Now, that word jewels is an interesting word, and it simply means that God hears when we honor and fear and reverence Him. And He pays attention to our words. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody overheard your conversation? Well, guess what? God overhears your conversation all the time. You think you're sitting at the dining room table with Aunt Sally talking about the preacher, and God's sitting right at the table across from you listening to everything you said. But when you talk about God's goodness, and when you reverence Him and fear Him, He pays attention to what you say. And even though it may look like the wicked are prospering, God has something in store for those that fear Him. And He said, you're going to be my jewels. What does the word jewel mean? His special treasure. And what He literally does is He builds a memorial in heaven and looks at that thing constantly. You know what a memorial is, right? We got memorials all over town. And they honor the sacrifice and service or the life of people. But when you pray and when you fear God and when you speak highly of the things of God, a memorial is built in heaven. And it's got your name on it. And when God sees that memorial, He begins to create for you a special treasure. And that treasure is something that nobody else can partake of but you. And as you live your life and run your race and proceed on your journey of faith, if you'll learn to avoid some of these things, when you finish, that special treasure will be waiting for you. Not only that, I truly believe you'll be able to take advantage and make withdrawals from that treasure while you're on the earth. While you're on the earth. See, I'm not one of these guys that believes in a pie-in-the-sky theology. Well, if you live for God, you're going to suffer down here, but when you get to heaven, everything will be all right. No, my friend. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not just when you get to heaven, but right here on the earth. Amen? But if you want to live that abundant life the way God intends for you to live, if you want to experience that treasure that He has for you, if you want that memorial to be built in heaven with your name on it, then avoid these things. Watch what God will do in your life. And I'll say this and then I'll quit. For all you young guys, unmarried people, young women, don't rush. You know, I don't know why some young lady, I saw this in St. Louis, used to break my heart. You know, they get to 30 and they start sweating. Oh, Lord, I ain't got no husband. And here comes slick Jim Bob, running the streets all his life. Of course, he don't want to marry them gals. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But you want to find you a nice church gal. So you come to church, you learn to speak Christianese, and some churches are so desperate to have men, you know. I'm not going to tell this story. Anyway, I've been there. And you walk into church and all these women trying to pawn their daughters off on you and their aunties. And I'm like, oh, Lord, leave me alone. This is before I got married. Anyway, but these guys learn to speak the lingo and say, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. And these sisters can't contain themselves. And what happens is you end up marrying a slug. A dog. You know what I mean? I like what Robin Roberts says. If you sleep with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Don't jump at the first guy that comes down the road. Don't rush into these things. Be led by the Spirit. Are you with me? Take your time. There's no deadline to meet. I don't know why I'm talking this way, but it's good for somebody. Remember, I didn't want to preach this. Tried to get away from it. The Lord brought me back. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of His special treasures. I want that memorial in heaven with my name on it. Are you with me? Not only that, I want to make some withdrawals down here on the earth. There's one thing that you'll learn in life. Your character and your integrity are the foundation for your Christian faith. We want to believe God for big things. Well, start by believing God to live right. Are you with me? You can do it. We can all do it. That's the way God intended you to live, and He'll empower you to do it. And I'm telling you, the longer you do it, the easier it gets, and it gets to be so much fun. It does. It gets to be so much fun. I don't know about you, but I love being free. I'm not bound up by no mess. You know, years ago, I was at a filling station in St. Louis. My wife's in the car, and I walked past this big station wagon with all these kids in it. And these kids must have planned this. And as soon as I got to the window by the car, there was like seven of them in there. They all yelled out, "Daddy!" And I'm like, whoa. And my wife's sitting in the car, right? I turned around and said, "Baby, I don't know these people. I don't know these people." That was so funny. I got a kick out of that. "Baby, no. Hey, I got no skeletons in my closet." Amen. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that. If I can do it, you can do it. And nothing special about me. You say, "Well, you're the pastor. You have an anointing." No. As the pastor, listen to this. I have an anointing to teach it. I don't have an anointing to live it. I get to live it just like you. Amen. And if I can do it, you can do it. If Jesus could do it, you can do it. Amen? You just got to take those tools out of the Word of God and put them into practice. Did you learn anything today? Amen. All right. Would you stand with me? Do you still love your pastor? Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.